Welcome to the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. I'm your host, Jessica Zweig, multi-seven-figure serial entrepreneur, best-selling author, and branding and business coach. And this is a show where we are redefining the word hustle, reclaiming our true feminine nature of magnetism, and putting down the self-judgments and shame around loving to work and making a lot of money at it. On this show, you're going to learn how to stop hustling and start spiritually hustling. By pressing play, you are now part of a new movement of women who don't hustle for money. We hustle for meaning. We don't hustle from lack. We hustle for love. We don't hustle from survival. We hustle for humanity's thriving. We hustle toward healing the ancestral programming of fear and step into a new understanding of safety in the body to receive. This shift isn't going to only heal your life. It's going to make you a whole lot richer too. This is the Spiritual Hustler Podcast. Well, hello, my beautiful spiritual hustlers, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm your host, Jess, and I am so grateful that you are here as always. This is the best freaking place I get to hang out whenever I push record in my beautiful little home studio and channel the messages that come through to this global collective of thousands and thousands of women across the world. It is not lost on me that you take the time to listen to my show. It means the world to me that of all the podcasts and all of the spaces that you can listen, you come here to listen to mine. And I decided that this summer I'm gonna give you guys a little treat because there are so many amazing podcasters in the space. So many, you could never listen to them all. And I really want to take you on a journey this summer and introduce you to some other podcasters that I absolutely admire and have had the gift of being on their shows. So last year in 2024, I call it my birthing year. It was the year of the Yang Wood Dragon, for those of you that are interested in Chinese astrology. And it was the year that I launched The Light Work. Reclaim your feminine power, live your cosmic truth, and illuminate the world. And that book became a USA Today bestseller. I pushed that book through my cosmic vagina for 7 months straight and traveled all around the country promoting the book, and was on over 100 podcasts talking to just some of the most incredible women, most of the time in person, and got to connect deeply with these brilliant voices that are so fun and so talented and have such gorgeous communities. And I felt like taking you guys along that journey and sharing some of the podcast conversations that I got to have with them. So today you're actually going to hear a podcast that I was on called Get Real with the most amazing Carolyn Hobby. She was actually on my podcast as a guest last year, but I got to be on her show. And you guys, Carolyn has one of the biggest podcasts in the space. She is truly a phenomenal interviewer. I wouldn't even call her an interviewer as much as I would call her a conversationalist. This podcast episode that I was on with her was one of my favorites I got to do because she read my whole book. She asked the best questions and we got really, really real. That's the whole essence of her show. And I shared things on this podcast that I really haven't shared on this one or really anywhere. That's the magic of Caroline. She pulls things out of her guests that are raw, are deep, are vulnerable, are uncommon. And I wanted to gift you all with this series this summer where you're going to hear from these amazing, talented women while getting to know a little bit more of my story that you probably haven't heard before. So if you aren't subscribed to Get Real, go ahead and do that. I'm going to leave the link to Carolyn's show in the podcast. You can follow her on Get Real Carolyn Hobby. That's her podcast. You can also follow Carolyn at Caro Hobby on IG. I'm going to leave all the links in the show notes. And sit back and enjoy, because this conversation is not only raw and real and deep and vulnerable to a scary degree. Honestly, I kind of couldn't believe what she pulled out of me, and I blessed this conversation. But it's funny because Carolyn's hilarious and a girl's girl and one of the most authentic women in the space. So without further ado, here is Carolyn's interview of me on the Spiritual Hustler podcast. Enjoy.
I think this is our third one.
You're right. This is my third one.
Yeah. And now we're finally doing it in person.
I'm so honored.
I'm so honored.
I mean it. I love you so hard. You were my biggest, warmest welcome to this town. big reason I like got on a moving truck and came here is because I knew I'd have people like you. So thank you for having me in your studio.
Well, we met because of podcasting.
We did.
Which was so great. Yeah. Haven't you met just the most amazing people
the
podcasting?
Best part about podcasting.
It is. Tell me what your favorite parts. Yeah.
Honestly, just where in life can you sit down with somebody who you might not know that well and have a 45 to an hour and a half uninterrupted conversation, no phones, no distractions, talking about deep, real stuff, getting to the heart of people's stories. My world cracked open when I started doing podcasts. Same. Like, I have my own show too.
The Spiritual Hustler.
The Spiritual Hustler, which you are coming on.
Thank you for having me.
Oh my God,
that was so great.
That was a lit conversation.
I thought it was too. My grandfather visited.
He did.
As a cardinal.
He showed up in our window.
He stopped by.
That was magical. Things happen in the Spiritual Hustler world. But you get it. Like, you make friends. Half the people that endorse this book I met on my podcast.
Really?
Yeah.
The light work, everyone.
Yeah.
The light work.
The light work. Reclaim
Jessica's
your feminine
newest
power.
Book.
Yeah.
So good.
I'm obsessed that you feel that way.
Well, I was obsessed with your journey to Egypt.
Which you had me back on for the second time.
And we talked about that.
Yes.
And I was literally blown away by your experience because for everyone listening, Jessica Zweig has understood the assignment when it comes to life. She did the first half of her life learning all the things that we have to then unlearn. You had all the traumas, you had all the experiences, you have all the, you know, the character. What it would even be the things that we collect along the way, like debris, life debris.
Yes.
You got it all. You got some high doses of stuff.
I did.
And then instead of just staying covered up by it, which so many of us do, and live our life with this deep shadow over us, heavy blanket of just feeling so bad.
Yeah.
You know, because so many things happen, we feel like to us.
Yes.
But really we get the opportunity to realize how they help happen for us.
For us.
But you do have to go on the big journey.
You do have to go on the big journey to be, I think, awakened, right?
The big journey can be very, very hard.
It fucking kicks your ass.
It kicks your ass. And I have also been on the big journey, and you have been someone I have used as a guiding light because your journey resonates so much with me. Like, everything you have discovered on your journey rings so true to me. I feel like resonance with it. Like, it feels so aligned with, like, oh my God, that's true. That's true. That's true. And it's so nice to see people uncovering truths and sharing them and integrating them into their own life and then being vulnerable enough to share them with the world, which you're doing. And this book is so raw.
Yeah, it is.
And you get into some crazy stuff.
I get in every chapter, there's crazy and crazier shit.
We start off with aliens.
We sure do, Caroline. And I am like thinking a lot about that as I'm about to launch this book.
Jessica's like, I'm basically standing naked in front of the whole world because I'm not just giving you self-help tips. I'm actually telling you my whole very intricate, personal
beliefs,
vulnerable
stories, traumas, realizations, and how I see the universe.
You're laying it out there.
I really am. And I really, you know, so I don't know if you know this, but I wrote this book in 3 months. Most publishers will give you a year to write a book, 6 months at least, 9 months mostly. Now granted, I knew I went when I wanted it to be published. So my publisher was like, you can do that, but you just have to write it on an accelerated timeline. Assignment accepted. And it's something.
Did it flow?
Flowed. I read it back. I'm like, I don't even know how I wrote that. Somebody else wrote that. She wrote that up there.
You opened up your portal.
I did. I opened up the portal through the entire writing experience and it really flowed. And I read it back now and I'm a little scared in a way.
Yeah. I'm reading it too and I'm loving every bit of it. None of it feels, I don't get any of those tingy feelings because I'm reading it as if it's like my own story.
Yeah.
And you know, like you can feel when you're like, oh God.
Yeah.
I don't get any of that.
Thank you.
Like none of it feels shocking.
I think it's my writing style too. It's very grounded. Mm-hmm. I'm talking about these woo-woo like concepts and deep, heavy, dark things that have happened in my life regarding my family trauma, body dysmorphia, just complete traumatizing heartbreak, going broke, and how all of those things led me to my spiritual path and how I really chose to find my own light within and made those circumstances for me versus happening to me. And I take you along that journey. And I think there's something really applicable and accessible about what this book offers that isn't super esoteric and weird. Like, I'm a real woman. I've gone through real life shit. I want every woman to see themselves in my story. I'm just a reflection of, I think, the common collective experience it is to be a woman on this planet right now. And take what you love, take what doesn't work for you. I say in the very first chapter, I'm not here to convince you to believe in aliens if that doesn't resonate. I do, clearly, but it's here for you to reclaim your own definition of light, to show up more authentically in your truth, to not be a victim to what's happening here on this planet, let alone in your own life. And that we get to do that when we do that together, when we really come together as light workers, we do make this world a better, more conscious, loving, accepting, peaceful, harmonic, collaborative place to be. And like, that's what I'm here for. That's what I'm here for.
Well, and I love so many things you just said I want to kind of break into. I love, first off, you talk about sisterhood so much, and there's a big difference between capital S and little s.
Yes, there is.
And I want to talk about that because I think as women, you're here for, you're also such an advocate for women fully stepping into their power and actually kind of shifting the tides to make this a more woman-run world. Because I would love to hear your thoughts on why you feel like that needs to happen.
Yeah.
But also, women have been pitted against each other, at least in this era. I don't know if it's been forever, but we've been pitted against each other.
Yes.
And we have to fight for our place to matter, to belong, to be chosen.
Yes.
You know? And really, women are so powerful. Mm-hmm. And when we combine energies and work together in sisterhood with a capital S, so many wonderful things change and we can like alchemize. I love the word alchemy. You talk about it a lot. Mm-hmm. Change energy.
Yeah.
You know, and this world is in desperate need of it.
The world would heal if that happened. And
explain to me that.
It's happening. Yeah. So basically, the girls that are mean to each other and competitive and gossipy and not inclusive, we've all faced that. They got that from their mothers, and they got that from their mothers, and they got that from their mothers. And it's been encoded in our DNA. This is called programming. It's no one's fault. No one's bad. It's just the way that we've been wired based on the collective consciousness that, in my view, now I'm going to get a little historical here, and I'm not a history expert, but I've done enough research on this book. So the patriarchy, which we world we're living in right now.
Man run
formed about 4,000 years ago with the dawn of church and state, when power and control and territory and war and religion were created.
Did it used to be run by women?
It was all run by women.
Before?
For hundreds of thousands of years, since the dawn of humanity.
Explain. Okay. So yeah.
Let's yeah. So the planet is 4 billion years old. Mm-hmm. Humanity started to evolve within the last couple hundred thousands of years. It was initially an matriarchal system, which meant women led the tribes, women led civilizations. The reason why it was all about the feminine is because we're on a feminine planet, Gaia, Mother Earth. It is a feminine frequency in which we are all living within. It's been co-opted when we look at like corporate America and, you know, all of these systems, metropolitan areas, we live in steel and glass structures. Like, we've been so ripped away from the core of the earth. That's sort of part of the problem.
Love that.
Big part of the problem.
I love hearing you say that. That's so profound.
It is true. Mm-hmm. And that's why nature is so healing for all of us. We having a bad day, just take a walk in nature. It recalibrates us. It's better than therapy. At least I think so. It's cheaper. And women started to become oppressed and repressed and controlled by the new patriarchal systems. And there was only so much room for us.
And that happened with church and state when it became like
that happened show. Within the last 4,000 years. If we didn't have certain seats of power, if we used our voices too much, if we used our voices too little, we would die. And so the competitive nature of survival started to weave its way into our DNA. And if we think about like our grandparents, parents, 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 it goes back, what, couple hundred years, couple centuries. We're talking about thousands of years mm-hmm. of programming that started to get written after the matriarchal systems were in place. So no one knows this. Like, we have literally the feminine frequency, the feminine vibration of this planet has so been forgotten. Like, it's a big deal when a woman starts her own business today. It's awesome. I'm here for it. I'm part of that movement. Women entrepreneurship, women leading, women getting to the top inside of corporate systems. Like, we're cheering for it. My point of view is like, no, guys, this is how it's always been supposed to be. Like, this is who we've always been. We've always been the leaders.
There's a difference too, though, with women in the man's world winning versus women creating their own world winning.
That is what I'm really here to create.
It's a different system if a woman creates it.
That's the world that I'm hopefully creating myself. I'm friends with so many women doing the same. That's what my book is an invitation into. I'm so happy you read my book, Caroline. Like, sisterhood with a capital S is us remembering that we're all daughters of Mother Gaia, making us sisters. We're all on the same team. Mm-hmm. There is nothing to compare or compete.
We're here to
lift each other up,
to raise the vibration,
to genuinely from our hearts root for each other, to be so genuinely happy when another woman is shining, when she is succeeding.
Does that mean she's elevating so all in her presence
Correct.
Can elevate?
And that's what I say. That's the last page of the book. It's like, imagine a woman who is so embodied in her magic, her confidence, her beauty, who radiates light across the room just by simply being in her presence. Like, that is a woman who has done her fucking work.
But it's so triggering to so many women. And why is that?
That's the programming.
And you had a podcast launch party, and someone was speaking. I think the person interviewing was saying you were super triggering for her.
Yes.
Because
yes,
you are so fully in your light, and that's a lot. So when you walk in the room, you're a lot of light. You're a lot of energy to feel.
Yeah.
But that's what we want all women to reach. But since so many of us have not done this work, don't even have any awareness that we're able to step into our light.
Yeah.
It's super triggering when someone like you walks in. Explain that a little bit.
Yeah. I mean,
maybe not just you per se, but women who are,
yeah, which yes. is why I think it's so important to have conversations like this, to create communities of women, to really find the right friendships, and because I believe you attract what you are. Mm-hmm. But listen, I've had some friendships fall away in the last few years as I've expanded, because it was too much, too hard, and it's been painful. It's heartbreaking. I talk about the sister wound is mm-hmm. like the saddest, hardest heartbreak there is, I think, more than male partnerships. But I think it really, here's I'll speak for myself. I have gotten so clear on what I'm here to do and who I'm here to be and who I'm here to serve.
And you're doing it for the higher calling.
That's what I mean. And I know from my own genuine soul, it's nothing to do with me. I have to shine brightly in order to affect that. And I know my come from.
I know my come from. What do you mean?
I know my intentions. I know why I've decided to accept the assignment, to shine, to take up space, to be seen for my...
Scary, right?
It's totally scary. But when you get clear on your mission, mm-hmm. to talk about also in the book, it becomes a little less scary.
Because you kind of realize you have to.
You have to. That's right.
I finally am there. I've been so insecure for so long. Like I think I told you in your podcast, I started my podcast because I was like, all these people have it figured out and I'm just so lost and floating and I don't know where, like I just didn't feel my worth. I knew innately my worth, but I wasn't embodying it. And I was just lost in all of my programmings of life and the debris I'd picked up along the way. And it took me till I was 40 of doing hard, hard, hard work to finally click over.
When's your birth? What's your year? Are we the same age?
83.
Okay. So how old are you?
40. I just clicked over.
I wanted to reflect something to you. Because I've known you for a few years
now.
You
knew me in my very lost. I wasn't lost because I knew I was on the right path. I just hadn't clicked into it and knowing I was fully worthy.
And you're clicked in.
I'm clicked in now. Now I know I have to do.
You are embodied.
Yes.
You are embodied. Thank you.
Still got a long way to go with it.
We all do.
But
me
I'm
too.
Clicked into knowing it now.
Yeah. I've seen it in you. I've seen the shift. I've seen you drop in. Like, I've been here in Nashville on and off for these last few years, and I get to see you in like intermittent spurts, and it's always so juicy and connected because our sisterhood is real. But I've seen your evolution and I've seen you come into your light. You are so awake mm-hmm. and you are, when you speak about this, you're not speaking around it. You're speaking from it mm-hmm. yourself. And I just wanted to reflect that to you. You're teaching this too.
I finally feel that way. And but that's the great thing is we're always a student. We're always a teacher. And that's why podcasting is so great, because I have learned so much from incredible minds who have gone on these journeys to figure out the point of it all. Because like I talk about this all the time with Michael, my husband. We like to reflect about life. And just like you and Brian, your husband, he's so great. But it's like, You're born into this game. There's no instructions. There's no, you're on your own. You have your own blueprint. You have your own agenda that you don't know what it is or what is your guiding purpose yet, but you're feeling called. You're feeling when things are right or wrong in your body. You're feeling all this stuff, but you don't know what any of it is. And until just about now, people are just starting to wake up. Before, it was kind of survival. People just were like into the game, trying to beat the actual game of life, which is like money and power and sex and all the, you know, the ego energies.
Yep.
Until now, we're realizing that's not how you win. So it's just happening right now where people are really starting to shift, I feel like, and be like, oh my gosh, this game of life is not about winning financially, although that's a wonderful byproduct if you can get an alignment. You know, that's great. But it's such a complex game, and you have to go on so many journeys to unlearn stuff, to clear out your clogs, to be enlightened. It takes for fucking ever. And as soon as you get to one level, there's a whole nother one.
I said that in my book.
It never stops.
No, it's true. And I think at the same time, what you're talking about at this moment in humanity is like such an exciting time to be alive.
It is.
That we are waking up and remembering. Like, we come in here with no instructions. We do have this memory, though, I believe. This is what I believe, stored in our DNA and our cells. We come here on an amnesia trip.
Yeah. Why do we come here? Oh, you say this because you go to Egypt and you are Pleiadian.
I'm Pleiadian.
Pleiadian, which is another species.
It's an extraterrestrial star family in the Milky Way.
And you've communicated now many times with them.
Yes,
they have given you messages.
Yes, they have.
So I want to talk about some of those messages because some of the messaging is why we're here.
Yes, it is.
And when you were in Egypt, can you just tell that story when you went into the temple and you put your body against the wall and you got the download and they talked to you and you got the message?
I got so many messages. That moment in that temple inspired this entire book.
It's a huge moment.
Yes.
And you've had some other groundbreaking moments where you've connected with higher self and beings and things.
Yes.
But this one's like,
this was the pinnacle. This is really, I think that moment was how and why I was able to write this book so fast.
Mm-hmm.
So went to Egypt. I was in the depths of my burnout. I had just written my first book, which was a number one bestseller. That was when I was on your podcast
B.
But my business was Simply B, and I ran this very successful marketing and branding agency. I ended up selling that company a few months ago, but
congrats.
Thank you. But in 2022, right after the first book launch and everything had just exploded and grown and my team had doubled and my revenue had doubled and my time was going from 50 hours a week to 100 hours a week, wearing all the hats, I was burnt out mentally, physically, spiritually, emotionally, and was diagnosed with depression, sort of healed it, powered through it, hated everything in my life, business, wanted to burn it all down.
Which you're teaching people how to be and enjoy being branded.
Tell me about it. I say in the book, you know, people knew me as like the bright, sunny yellow girl on Instagram. And there was this shame I had around that because what was behind the scenes was like dark. So I get on this airplane to go to Egypt. I had serendipitously planned this trip a year before. I had no idea what was about to happen. I went to many temples. It was a 15-day trip. That specific day, that temple, that activation that you're speaking of was at the temple called Dendera. And it is the temple of the goddess of Hathor. Hathor is the goddess of pleasure. Mm. And I was roaming around her hallways by myself. There's this little alcove up in the ceiling. You have to crawl up a ladder to get into it. I went up there by myself. I just got a message from spirit. I've always been, you know, pretty clear and connected. And it just said, put your whole body up against the wall. Like these walls are living organisms. There's things that are activated. They're alive, the walls of these temples. And I pulled my whole body against it, like my crown, my third eye, my chest, my heart, my belly, like as close as I could get to it. And I just stood there for like literally not even a minute. And within a matter of seconds, I was struck by white lightning. Like I literally felt my whole body just explode. Something had hit me. And the white light was so blinding. And my eyes were closed and I was up against the wall. And I just felt my whole auric system expand beyond this planet. And I started to hear voices. And I'm pretty clear audience, like I've said. And so I can connect, but I've never heard voices that clear. and they were so specific, and there were many of voices, and they were basically shouting at me, like shouting over each other.
They were like, we got her.
Exactly.
We got to give her the message.
That was the exact energy. And Jessica, yeah, listen, stop talking. Let me talk to her. Like they were talking over each other.
That's so cool.
It was crazy. It was amazing. And they told me in that temple that I basically missed the whole point of life, that life is actually meant to be so fun, that this human experience to be in a body, to be in a woman's body specifically, being a piece of the goddess that I am and that we are as women, is meant to be blissful, pleasurable. That every minute of every day on this human, in this human life, on this planet, is a gift. Every second of it. You get to have a dog and kiss it, and you get to wear cute clothes, and you're here on this trip traveling the world. It's such an amazing world, right? You get to wear cute outfits and make love to your husband. And that trip was a massive, massive, massive turning point for me. That's why I'm here talking to you about this, was really in many ways that moment.
So this is where I get concerned for the human race.
Yeah.
Because you have gone hard to find these answers. Mm. And you've done all sorts of journeys. Like, mm-hmm. And I'm not one to support like using drugs to mess your life up. Mm-hmm. And I know you aren't either. To like,
and I was on no drugs in that
temple,
by the way.
That was totally you. But yeah. Like you've done like some natural things with healers that I wouldn't even consider drugs in that context. But right. It's just like different modalities mm-hmm. to reach higher
states of consciousness.
States of consciousness.
And connect to other realms.
But you have to go find these healers. You have to go get in these situations. Yeah. You have to go. But I guess if you're on the journey, you find it. But so many people aren't. So like the regular person who's just living their life, waking up.
Who's never going to go to Egypt. And
never going to go to Egypt.
Which is fine. You don't have to.
Who's going to just accept life for what it is with all the.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like, how do we wake what happens? Because that's a lot of people. I guess
it's a lot of people.
Enough light workers just keep waking up that somehow it pops enough bubbles.
Yeah, I think I have so many thoughts on that. Such a great question. I think so many light workers waking up, popping the bubbles, really just means like the more pain and trauma and grief and heartache that you experience, I believe we find our light in the dark. And yet, what we were saying earlier, you have to choose to accept that invitation as part of the human experience and not let yourself be a victim to it.
So many people are like, I can't believe that happened. That is so terrible. That is so awful, which it is. But on the flip side, if you can get into that pain and heal it,
that's right.
You now are so deeply connected to a higher part of yourself.
Exactly. And you are, I believe, the source. You don't need to channel the Palladians. Like you have divinity within you. The thing about plant medicines and these, you know, huge psychedelics.
Said it so terribly. It did not sound pretty. I'm like, don't do drugs, but do trips with healers.
I mean, I knew you were going with that. And you're right. Not a lot of people. I think it's becoming way more mainstream, way more commonplace. Like It's widely accessible now, which is amazing. Still somewhat illegal in certain states.
And ketamine, though, that's legal. Ketamine, and that's very healing.
They're about to legalize MDMA. Psilocybin mushrooms are illegal in a handful of states here. Clinical studies are being shown that, you know, MDMA specifically is reducing like mental illness and trauma in veterans, in couples, in sex abuse survivors. I mean, it's real, and the data is coming out.
Correctly are so correct. Healing.
And there's a shadow side, which I talk about in my book, that because the space has become over glorified, these shamans that are delivering these medicines are people too. And you just have to be really sovereign and follow your gut. But Egypt aside, plant medicines aside, healers aside, there are things that the average person can start doing. And I say this in my book, like my book is not here to convince you to buy a plane ticket and fly to Egypt. There are tools at the end of every single chapter that are literally simple meditations, journaling prompts, walking in nature, moving your body through ecstatic dance and somatic breath work, free. Like it's free to breathe, right? It's free to move. It's free to take a walk in nature and hug a tree. I know that sounds cheap, but truly like, and I talk about all of these tools that the average person just needs to simply
tune into
and tune into the medicine journeys, of which I have done many. And I speak about a few in the book. Someone said this to me and I can't take credit for it, but when she's a friend of mine who's in the medicine space, my friend Taylor, She said, the medicine journey is not the ceremony. The ceremony is the day after. The medicine journey is the doorway. You step through, but then the ceremony begins when you come back into your reality and you have to integrate.
Oh, that's hard.
That's life. Okay, sisters, truth bomb time. Your brain and your nervous system don't give a flying F about your goals, your dreams, or your next launch strategy. The only thing that they are seeking is familiarity. That's why healing and growth and expansion often feels like resistance. That's because it's unfamiliar. Microflow is here to change that. Founded by Christy Nault, a root cause health expert, Microflow blends psilocybin, yep, that's magic mushrooms, lion's mane, cacao, rose, and blue lotus into the cleanest microdosing supplements on the market. 100% organic, Reiki infused, and third-party lab tested. Now, these formulas, which I have been using for 3 years and have completely changed my life, are designed to quiet what Christy calls the default mode network, aka your brain's autopilot, and ignites what's called neurogenesis, helping your brain to build new pathways wired for vitality, trust, receptivity, courage, abundance, confidence, and connection. Whether you're addressing anxiety, which I've struggled with, ADHD, burnout, which I've struggled a lot with, or just want to feel more clear and in flow in your everyday life, Microflow is a nervous system resourcing tool that is safe for everyday life. Yes, even while parenting, working, driving, or even podcasting. Wink, wink. I want you to start with the Exude and Surrender bundle, which harmonizes your system to sync with your cycle and the lunar flow of the moon. And for somatic healing and deeper journeys, the Theta Blend supports breathwork, intimacy, and your spiritual practice. Now, if you are ready to upgrade the entire technology of your cells in your body and rewire your subconscious mind, go to microflowhealing.com, use code Jessica10 for $10 off of your order and receive access to Christy's free 2.5 hour magic mushroom microdosing masterclass. Yep, all my goodies just for you. That's microflowhealing.com and use Jessica10 to get $10 off of your order.
When you get all of your upgrades and clearings and awareness,
it's always the hardest.
Then you have to come back to your reality and figure out, oh gosh.
But you get to choose what you do with that information. Mm-hmm. And if you're working with the right healers and guides, which they exist, they'll hold your hand through that integration. They'll come spend the next day with you, or they'll make sure they have calls with you set up on the books for the next few months as you continue to process what you got in those ceremonies. But I've had some of the most profound psychedelic-esque type of experiences in breath work. Mm-hmm. I've been able to commune and connect and tune into spirit walking in Radnor. You know, like there's, it's accessible to us. We don't need... Life is the teacher. Life is the spiritual teacher. And these medicines are supportive tools. And if you use them with reverence and respect and honoring and integrity, they can accelerate certain aspects of your healing, but they're not necessarily necessary.
So one little part I want to talk about is you talk about soul family, you talk about money, how we have these issues with our family and our friends, our closest family and friends. They often are the source of the biggest trauma and wounds for us.
Yeah.
And people have so many money issues.
Yeah.
So I want to talk about, first off, it's even though you talk about soul family first in the book, the money situation.
Yeah.
We have so many money wounds, and you had an experience where you tapped so deeply into your lineage, your ancestral lineage that you went back hundreds, if not thousands of years and realized there was, you got to talk about Marguerite. I'm not going to say it for you.
Okay, Carolyn, can I just tell you, like, I have been sitting with my book on my Google Docs for like a year, and I know just to hear you tell these stories and reflect them back. You really read my book, babe. You read
these. It's so good.
Thank you. Anyway, thank you. I'm very, very moved
right
now.
I'm so proud of you for sharing all this because I know it's vulnerable. And you've gone to places that so many of us don't even know we have access to go to. And then you're sharing that experience. Because like the story about Marguerite, most people are gonna be like, what in the world are you talking about? Yeah. A woman in your womb?
Yeah, yeah.
That's affecting your money?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But it is.
It's my experience.
It's so profound because it's all of us. I don't think we realize how we're so affected by our ancestral lineage.
That's why I told this story and why I opened up the book about money with that story. So full transparency, and I say this very openly in the book, I was on MDMA.
With a healer.
Healer,
like you're doing
the most beautiful integris. She's still my healer. I work with her. I've done 3 journeys with her. I've worked with her for 2 years. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's what I was saying. The journey is the door. The ceremony is your life. And so she's an amazing guide. And I did this ceremony with her. I took the medicine. I started to feel it. And I started to, as the medicine came on, start to feel a physical piece of matter stuck in my womb. Like it hurt. Like I had to like move something out. And I shared that with her. She goes, let's tune into that. What is, that's a sign. That's information we should look at. So I tuned into it. And the more and more I fell into what was going on in my womb space, I intuitively just saw a woman. I felt a person. And I said this to my healer, and this is why it's so powerful to work with a guide and someone who's going to hold space and is there for your healing. I mean, MDMA is essentially like 7-8 hours of a therapy session, right? You're talking, you're having a conversation. So she's like, does this woman have an identity? Like, what does she look like? And I started to see her physically. And she was young. She was 25. She had dark hair. She was very skinny. She had sunken skin. She looked tethered, even though she was young. And she said, do you know where?
It's freezing.
And she was, like she was wet. And I could place her location.
She's holding tightly with her fingers, although there's nothing
her
there.
Her fingers were like gripping. Like her fingers were so skinny. You could see the knobs of her knuckles. And because she was starving. She was homeless. She was in the freezing, wet rain. And she had been cast out as a witch, or she was abused sexually, physically. She was on the streets, literally living with nothing. And I was starting to freeze. I could feel her coldness, and I could place my guide was like, do you know when she's existed? I said, I think 1500s, 1600s, Eastern Europe. Like the more I went deeper and was guided by my healer, the more information I could get. And then I just heard her name, and her name was Marguerite, and I could feel her in my womb. And that's our sacral chakra, our sacral. It's orange. It's our creative, juicy fire. It's all of our pleasure and bliss, sexuality, creativity, playfulness. And I had done this journey in the depths of my burnout when all of that was offline. And she had been running the show. She had been like, when I say that when she had children, or she must have, and or her DNA was passed down into my lineage, DNA is literally technology. We're encoded with technology, these DNA strands, of which they say 90% is junk. It's not. There's so much light stored in our cells. And we've been reprinting the ancestral programs of our lineages into our bodies and our systems.
And how do we reprint that? Because they're still there?
They're like, still there.
They're lingering.
We reprint it by becoming aware. I call it your light codes, turning them on through sacred practice, breath work, somatic healing, dance.
How would you have ever found Marguerite?
That's a really good question. I think I would have found her eventually. I think I would have found her in a talk therapy session. I think some divine stroke of a conversation would have manifested in my life where I would have felt inspired to look for it. Now, I do think that's the power of medicine, mm-hmm. right? For us to open up our fields, to get clear and conscious of our timelines, our blueprints, different dimensions. There is real power in it. If you do it safely, if you are with an integrity-filled person that is guiding your healing and is there for your highest self and not their own agendas, that have done their own work, that are of love, mm-hmm. not darkness, mm-hmm. it can change your life. Mm-hmm. And so that was really the beginning of the beginning. And what I didn't share in the book, which I'll share in your podcast, is a couple hours later in that ceremony, your audience is going to think I'm crazy.
I love it.
I had these like star beings come down. They were African American. They were black, and they were wearing silver suits. And one of them had like a sword, and he sliced my womb, and she left.
Marguerite
left my womb, and my whole womb turned into a star. Yeah.
That's cool.
It was crazy. It was amazing. And something obviously happened in my physicality and I think in my DNA, but it's been my mental and emotional dedication to working on my tendency toward scarcity and survival.
So you're saying, so she had that intense scarcity survival that unbeknownst to you was integrated into who you are. So
running my life.
Your scarcity and survival.
Right.
Is coming from
her.
Thousands of hundreds of years before you.
Yeah. I mean, and the programming of my parents, of course, and the way they raised me, but the way they were raised, I stem from a lineage of Holocaust survivors. So there's survival etched in my DNA, both from my familial system as well as my ancestral lineage. And that's my stuff. Like,
and that's
we all crazy
have
our
to think
stuff.
That you'd be born and just not have it now that I think about it.
Exactly.
Of course, you're going to have your parents' energies and what they're stressing and
yeah.
traumatic events that have defined them, and then their parents define them. And it makes so much sense, but we
so
just think,
sense.
Oh, I shouldn't have any issues.
And that's what, right, exactly.
I should just be fine.
Nobody is fully healed. We're coming into this planet with like debris.
Yeah.
Already baked into the cake.
You're already baked in. Uh-huh. You have all your family debris.
Yes, you do. And that's what in that chapter I talk about.
In.
It's baked in. It totally. But this is why it's so exciting to be alive. Why I love that we're human in 2024 and we're waking up and we're having conversations like this. And I wrote a book like this, and I've read so many books like this, and people listen to podcasts like this, because we get to co-create what I call a new earth. We don't have to pass this down to our children.
Right.
What we are doing right now, I say this so much throughout my book, my message, everything I'm sharing, it's so important how we're showing up, because the lineages beyond us will inherit what we're giving them. And we have new information, we have new tools, we have new consciousness, we have new medicines, we have podcasts, we have the dissemination of information, we have people studying the ancient, soulful, galactic ways that this planet was born and talking about it. And our parents didn't have any of that.
Yeah.
And neither did their parents or their parents' parents. There is an awakening. It's such a wildly exciting time to be alive right now.
Hey, sister, we have got to talk about one of the most powerful tools in my spiritual toolkit right now, okay? And that is Lotus Way. These are flower essences, liquid infusions of wildflowers that hold the energetic imprint of the flower's life force. And when I say that they instantly shift your state, I mean it. I've been using their elixirs, aura sprays, and essential oils every single day for over a year, and my entire nervous system has recalibrated. I am more grounded, more confident, more radiant, more effortless in magnetizing abundance with so much ease and feminine vibration. Now, you can go ahead and take their flower quiz, which is so much fun, at lotusway.com/JessicaZ and discover exactly what your system is calling for. My current faves right now, because I've used so many of them, but I'm really loving Divine Within for spiritual activation and connection to higher realms. Yep. Inner Peace to soften my edges, help with anxiety, and supports my sleep. And Expansive Presence, which has been a game changer for my confidence. Go to lotusway.com/JessicaZ or use code JessicaZ at checkout for 10% off. It's time to elevate your frequency, align with your true power, and let the flowers do their thing. Trust, sister, you're going to feel like the most feminine version of yourself. And I don't have a child. You do. I know Sunny is your life. The fact that her mom is awakening at 40 is going to completely infuse itself.
Not to get teary, Jessica. Thanks.
But I love your love for her. I
mean, well, she's healed my life.
Exactly.
And God or my soul family knew we needed each other.
She chose you and you chose her. Mm-hmm. For sure. I know that. Mm-hmm. But think about Sunny when she's 40. And the conversations that she's going to be having with her community, because you are her mom and the daughter she'll raise, and the lessons and understandings that she will have that are so different than what you had because your parents didn't have it.
Because they didn't have the access to it.
They didn't have the access to it. It's exciting to think about. This is like the new earth we're creating.
So, and that's what I keep thinking, because like, I feel like my parents did such a good job with what they had, and absolutely, they're still learning so much as they get older, which is so inspiring. But it's like, okay, I've cleared so much at 40. Like you're saying, what if with Sunny at 4, she's going to have her problems? So like, what if she doesn't have to deal with all this deep, deep, deep rooted stuff? What if she can just like have a clear field on some way?
I think that's what's available. I mean, not to say that the human experience, we come here, you asked me earlier, why do we come here? It is school. It's painful to be a human.
It's so painful. And I used to be like, man, I hope this is my last life. And you're really helping me change that, because I'm like, okay, it is great to be a human.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful experience. There's so many great things, but I get so wrapped up in the darkness of it and the sadness.
Yeah.
But now I think what I'm realizing is you just have to only focus on the light. I mean, you have to be aware of the darkness and your shadows and all of that, but you have to be moving in the light.
And it's vigilance. The world needs us to have done this work.
Mm-hmm. It does. That's why, like, I'm sitting here, like, looking at you, and I'm like, man, if you, I'm sure you will, I'm sure all your guides will lead you there, because you're so equipped for this. If you can just get on a louder level, like, even louder and louder for people to hear you.
Thank you.
Like, if people can just, like, hear what you have to say, just, like, that ripple effect can just start rippling, because you're so, you're so here for the right reasons, and you have such great information to interject on people if they can just get it. And you're such a great leader. You're such a great leader. You really are. You're such a great feminine leader of the women.
Thank you.
Because you are a true, and we never talked about the difference between the little S and the big S and sisterhood, but you are a true big S sisterhood.
Yeah.
Little S is like where you're caught up in all the catty stuff still. Yeah. You say you want a sisterhood, but you're still gossiping. You're still, I mean, what are all
you're still gossiping, judging, comparing, feeling insecure.
Which I have been there so many times.
So have I. So have I.
Still dip my toe in it, and I'm like, shit, I did it again.
Uh-huh. And
get out, abort, but go back to big S sisterhood.
But the fact is that you're aware of it.
Yes.
That to me is the medicine,
yes,
right? Because there's a lot of women that aren't even aware of it, that are stuck in cycles and loops of judgment and comparisonitis and gossip and talk, like
jealousy,
you know? And that just comes from the light that we can't see within ourselves. You know, I say in that chapter, what you see in another woman is what you see in yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to see it.
What you see in another woman is what you maybe know is in yourself, but not, you're not showing it, or what?
What you see in another woman is what you possess in yourself. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to see it. So for example, if I look at you, Carolyn, and I say you are so beautiful, you're gorgeous, you're so funny, and you're so magnetic.
Thank you.
You're so talented. You're such a joy to be around. You're brilliant. You're deep. You have the sweetest heart. You're so smart. Like, I see all of this in you, which is true. This is who you are. I'm able to acknowledge that. I'm able to reflect that.
And not like be pushed away by it or blocked by it.
Because I can hold those things in myself.
You can love yourself.
I can love myself. I know that I'm smart. I know that I am magnetic. I know that I'm deep. I know that I'm beautiful.
So you're not putting a block up, right, or feeling resistance to it, because you're like, I can see that in her, but I also can see, because I can see that in myself.
I could only see it. Now, on the flip side, if I'm like, God, Carolyn is so full of herself. God, Carolyn is just so.
Stop talking.
She's so, she's just won't ever stop talking. She takes up so much space. She's so loud.
Yes. Walks to the room and sucks the air out of it, because she's just, you know.
Right. Who does she think she is?
Exactly.
I don't think any of those things,
right,
by the way.
But it's easy for someone like ourselves,
correct,
to be deemed like that.
But there's the other person is what I'm trying to say is you. And I can only cast those judgments on you unless I held them myself.
or that I had a fear of shining so brightly that I would be judged for taking up too much space. So I've got to make you wrong for it.
What you see, too scared to step in it. You don't how. Yeah, fear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What you see in her is what you hold and possess in yourself.
So if you're mad about someone shining bright, it's because you know you aren't doing it.
Correct. Correct. And that takes a fuck ton of self-awareness. But we're all each other's mirrors.
Yeah. It's so crazy because you think you're just living in this world, bebopping around with all these people. Everyone is here for your learning. Every person that's in your core group, every person that's your boss, your job, what all that.
They're all your teachers.
They're all your teachers. It's all divinely put into your path.
Exactly.
It's not random.
No. In fact.
People who are triggering you are there to wake up, wake you up. Why are you being triggered?
The most challenging relationships in my life. My dad being one of them.
You talk about soul family. Okay, so let's get into this. And then we probably have to wrap up. How long have we been going? I could talk to you forever. 46. Okay, great. So let's talk about soul family. Because we choose our soul family and you get real vulnerable in here. You talk about your parents. And I know like your parents are reading this book. How did they handle it? And was it healing for them ultimately? Was it hard? Because there's a moment that you have, I'll cry. It's so hard to be a human. And I have such grace for your parents because your dad came from such a hard lineage and he talks about that. And so did your mom. And, you know, they're just doing the very best they can and they're getting triggered by their kid growing up. And then you're this very strong, you know, rebellious person fighting for your freedom, but you don't really know what you're fighting for yet because you're a teenager.
Correct.
Probably. You just want to be loved in yourself, but you don't even know how to do that. So you're triggering your parents and they don't have the tools to handle it correctly. And as a parent, I have tried so hard not to let Sunny trigger me. And like, I've had moments where I'm like, oh, I didn't handle that right at all. And it's like, but for the most part, I feel very proud of like being able to regulate myself, but still you're going to get unregulated as a parent or deregulated. And back then, before your parents had tools, one thing your dad said to you one time.
That he didn't even remember.
He probably said it in the heat of him being triggered, trying to get you to behave in the way he needed you to behave because he loves you and he thought he needed to keep you safe by keeping you in these boundaries that he thought you needed to be in, which you obviously didn't. But like he's trying to love you in the best way he knows how, but he just messed it up because he's human. And it's one thing he said that shaped your whole life. Let's talk about that story. Cause it's just like so many of us can relate to this and giving your dad so much grace.
And which I have,
you know,
and both of us are crying in case you're not watching this.
It's the parent-child relationship is so difficult.
It's so difficult. I
thank you. What you just said, I'm going to go back and listen to this podcast and have my dad hear what you just said actually, cause it's so powerful and it's so healing to acknowledge our parents for being human. And at the same time, you know, owning that what happened to us was real.
Right.
And so my dad, and so I had my dad read this chapter a year ago because I had finished the book and I knew he needed to read it well in advance.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. That's a big one.
And we didn't talk for 2 months. He was very upset by it.
It was a big one.
It's a big one, yeah. And he was the one that wanted to talk to me, actually, but I had held a boundary and it just kind of got a little messy, as parent-child relationships do, even in your 40s.
Well, in your 40s is when you start to have the real reckonings.
Correct, and that's what I'm, amen.
It's the transition from you're not the kid anymore, you've done your work.
Yes.
And maybe you've even healed some beyond what your dad was capable of because you have new resources.
Well, that's exactly what had happened. There was a reckoning. So we met for breakfast after not talking for a while. And I looking back on that moment, I know that I wrote this book, like my higher self, like I said, wrote this book for many reasons. I wrote this book to heal my lineage with my dad. You know, he was so shocked and hurt that.
Did he have no idea that you felt this way?
No.
Because he was in survival mode.
He was in survival mode.
Think about Marguerite, honestly, bringing it back. Like, that's his deep lineage.
Yeah.
And that's his survival. He probably didn't, like, Holocaust survivors were his parents?
His parents, most of my family, extended family died in the Holocaust. And my grandfather, his dad, my grandfather.
Who came to you?
Yeah, my great grandfather did.
And that's your dad's grandfather?
Yeah, my dad's grandfather.
Came to you and spoke messages over you, which is incredible.
Yeah.
But your dad didn't have the opportunity to have this easy
experience. No, he didn't. He
experience.
Had
it was all hard.
His upbringing was tougher than mine.
And survival.
Dramatically harder than mine.
It's not like people were like, oh, let's find some enjoyment today. How can we make your day great today,
no,
dad?
Absolutely.
It's like, no. How can you survive today?
He had... And it was that breakfast, that reckoning, that I realized like my, okay, how do I say this? My dad told me in that breakfast that when I was 10 years old, I pulled away from him, that I got, you know, too cool for my dad. And he never got over that.
He didn't know how to transition.
Correct. He never knew how to
evolve.
It made him sad that I, and mad that I would stop wanting to hold his hand.
But here's the thing. I've seen this so many times. The age from 9 to 11, girls change. I've seen it with a firsthand. That's when you transition from the little girl into the teenager, moving on to the woman. It's a transitional time and you become a new person.
I know that.
Mm-hmm.
But my dad's wounding carried. His little girl was gone.
And I get that. I look at Sunny and I think to myself all the time, this is going to evaporate. Her littleness is going to leave. And I miss it already.
Yeah.
And then once it's gone, it's gone. You can't ever get it back.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's only memories and it's gone. It's like disappears.
And I don't think my dad, again, had the tools and how to reconcile that within himself.
He was sad.
Oh, he was so sad. And then his sadness manifested into anger.
Were y'all super close when you were little?
Uh-huh. Yeah. So when I was 14 years old, my dad and I got into a big fight. And in his fury, he told me that he was going to call me Jessica Zero because I was going to amount to nothing.
And he's just trying to shock you back into line.
Correct.
That's all he's trying to do. He's just trying to shock you back into lines that he can control.
Can control.
So he can keep you safe.
Correct.
That's it.
And that is exactly it.
And I see parents do that all the time.
Oh my God.
It's hard to parent. And I've resorted to threats sometimes. I'm like, Sonny, you're not going to get any ice cream or watch the iPad ever again in your life if you don't do this. And I'm like, what in the world?
No, I can't relate to being a mother. I know that is the hardest job in the world. And I said that in my book. Like, if you want your ego to be brought to your knees to see how flawed you are to have a kid. But my point
is,
when
you run out of, and you can't get them to do what you want, you resort to all these tactics, especially if you haven't worked on your own wounds. Oh my God, the tactics that parents can resort to are so crazy because you got to keep your kids in line because you think they're going to die if they go stray off.
And there's just trauma that forms around all of it.
And you say these things and you don't even realize the impact you're saying.
He didn't even remember that. That one freaking sentence drove my entire life until I was 40. Well, I am going
to
prove my dad wrong. I'm going
to
show him.
You never talked to him about it again? You just carried it inside?
No, I just carried it inside. And I was like, I'm going to prove to all I've ever wanted to do. This is why, I mean, I've made a ton of money. I've had a ton of success. I've had so many third-party validations with awards and media and book deals and da-da-da-da and money in the bank and people telling me I'm awesome at my retreats and my staff loving to work for me. Like,
you've been validated.
I've been validated. But underneath it all I wanted to do was make my dad proud of me.
Was he ever able to?
Oh,
be
he's
proud?
So proud of me.
Sunny came up to me the other day and she said, "Mom, I am so frustrated with you. You frustrated me so much. I cannot believe I asked you to not let Ruby out and you let her out. And that is so frustrating."
Well, how old is she?
4 and a half. She's like, "I am trying to catch bugs for my frog and Ruby is scaring them away. And I ask you to put her inside and I am so frustrated with you." And I was like, "I'm so sorry. Thank you for expressing your frustration. That is frustrating. And I will put Ruby inside." But I'm like, thank you for being able to tell me you're frustrated. Some parents might be like, "Don't talk back to me. You do what I say." But I'm like, no, right. She's expressing to me that I frustrated her.
It's beautiful.
How great that she can express her feelings.
It's beautiful.
I mean, I'm sure I'm messing her up all over the place other ways, but I'm like, at least you're expressing yourself. You know, like you're not holding it in.
I bet you're doing a beautiful job, Karen. I have no doubt. You cry up, tear up, and glow every time you talk about her. I can only imagine the connection. And what you just said is something, you know, the word safety.
And you talk about that in your book about the, I don't know what part it was, healing or whatever, but ultimately all this comes down to safety, right?
Safety in the body.
Feeling safe in your body.
Yes.
Right?
Correct. We have been leaving our bodies, overriding our bodies, abusing our bodies. One of my favorite chapter, one of them is actually the book about the body, or the chapter about the body in the book. It's called Your Sacred Vessel. Especially women, we abuse it, we criticize it, we torture it, we're mad at it. We allow it to get sick, and it's an inconvenience when it does.
And then you talk about sexual. Let's talk, like, caveat real fast. Uh-huh. Not wanting, when you exchange sexual energy with someone.
Yes, your body's your temple.
We need to talk about this too, really quickly, for women listening, just to realize what you're doing when you let someone
in you. Yes.
Literally, because that's a big deal, especially for young girls listening. Like, I really want you to think about this. Yes. So explain that.
I mean, I don't want to sound like a prude when I talk about this.
Because you're all about bliss, and you totally. Even talk about orgasms yeah. are very important to, like, uh-huh. open you up.
Yep. So screw plant medicines. Like, the one of the most beautiful, powerful ways to ascend multidimensional reality is an orgasm. Mm-hmm. And our bodies are sacred vessels. And when we are having sex with somebody, we are merging with their energy. We are literally letting inside their cells into our cells, their energy, their stuff, their junk, their debris.
It's all entering
your system. And the Palladians, as I speak of in the book, really say that sexuality, the fact that we're able to have sex on this planet, is what makes human beings so powerful. It is the most powerful tool we have on this planet. And we abuse
How is that? Why so?
Because we're able to use sexuality, tantric orgasm, to reach higher states of consciousness, to heal at quantum levels, to reach a state of euphoria, bliss, oneness. Okay. Like, that is the truth of the universe. Like, this pure state of bliss, that we are not separate from each other. There is a deep ecstasy in this experience of oneness. And that is really, I think, what we're all trying to come home to. And sex is a portal. Sex is our channel and our tool and our vehicle on this human plane to get there. But we're sleeping around. We're having casual sex and one night stands. And again, I say this in my book, like, I am here for the sexual liberation of humanity. Like, go have all the hot sex you want. Like, truly, no judgment, truly.
You're just letting you know the side effects.
I'm just letting you know what's really happening. It's like, think about it. When you have sex with somebody, one night stand or maybe a rendezvous, you don't like him anymore, you're not into him, but, like, you feel like you can't get him out of your body or your system for months after that. It's because he's still in you. His energy is. His stuff could be.
And we're not talking just STD. That's the most basic of it all. That's the actual most basic
exactly.
thing to worry about.
It's actually, I think, more cautionary to let someone's energy get inside of, because it can trip up your whole life, not just your physical body. And what the Palladians say, and again, not to sound like a super prude, I mean, I certainly had a decent amount of partners before I married my husband. It wasn't crazy. I know many of my girlfriends have had hundreds of partners. Like, there is no judgment here. I was a judge-free zone, truly.
I'm just sharing what can happen.
What can happen and why it is so important, and why the most magnificent sex you'll ever have, the most healing sex you will ever have, the hottest, most quantum, mind-blowing, orgasmic sex you could ever possibly have is with somebody that you love. To do that with somebody that you love, that you trust, that you feel that soul connection to, and not to give that away. And
because you're polluting your body.
Exactly.
You're literally polluting your body. And you can see girls, especially who haven't found themselves and who are looking for that validation, looking to be loved, sleeping with a lot of people, you see the light just get dimmer and exactly. dimmer and dimmer and dimmer exactly. because you're not finding love. You're not being validated. You're actually chipping yourself away.
And you might be picking up some entities that aren't yours.
That are now stuck on you.
That are stuck on you, that you have to work to clear out.
And if you don't know how, then they're just stuck on you.
Yes.
Forever.
Yes. So remember that your body is your temple. Not just anybody can walk into it with their dirty feet.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Have sovereignty.
It's like your house.
Yes.
Are you going to let somebody come in there?
Take off your shoes, please. And no, you can't be a stranger. Take shit out of the kitchen, mess up my bed. Like, you wouldn't do that.
No.
Your body is your most sacred space.
You're living in it.
Yeah.
You can't just let anybody come in. It's okay, that's amazing. Gift. Okay, gosh, Jessica, you're incredible. The light work. We end on this note, but I think it's such a great note.
We went all over the place. Yes, it was beautiful. I love we ended here.
I do too.
We covered so much ground. You're amazing.
You're amazing. But I just think it's so important for women to realize it is time for us to know how powerful we are and time for us to claim that.
Yes.
And to tap into it. And it's maybe a little uncomfortable for some of us, but it's time. And it's, we have to. We're in such a spiritual warfare. We're in such a warfare of like actual war, like war and people being abused and all these terrible things. We have to shift it.
We have to shift it. And it starts with us and how we show up and how we choose to move through this dark time with personal and radical responsibility and empowerment.
And if you know you're a light worker, which people reading this book, I like that you are really inviting people to claim that. Cause I've had a hard time like claiming, oh, I'm a light worker. That feels like so, I don't know what that feels like. It just feels like a big responsibility or title or something.
But you are.
But you are. And you know, and I am. And we all have it in us and we have to activate it. It's time.
It's time.
So read the book, The Light Work. It's so amazing. Jessica Zweig, thank you for joining me. Will you stick around for some burning questions?
Of course I will.
I forgot to end with my final question.
Yes.
Leave your light. What do you want people to know?
You weren't put here by accident. You were incarnated just to like live this life out according to your own personal gain. That you really are here on an assignment and that you are so deeply needed and that you are so important and that you don't have to do anything to prove that. You were literally born worthy and beautiful and powerful and loved and needed. And when we really remember that, we awaken.